As many of you know, I grew up in Ohio, and the preachers up there had a joke, and so I'm going to share it with you. In January and February, they wouldn't preach their hellfire sermons because for some folks, that might actually sound kind of nice. And I'm thinking right now, in Central Texas, we're kind of feeling some of this at this point. It may not be an appropriate joke, but I tried it out, so... Last week, I was having lunch with a friend, and we were just talking about life, catching up. It had been some time since we had spent any time together, and he was talking about his job and talking about the hours that he works and the challenges and stress that comes with that work. And somehow, I'm not exactly sure how we got to this specific topic, but we were talking about the Christians that... work at the same place that he does. And so I asked him, with the Christians that work at that certain place, do you notice any difference in the way that they live their lives, in the way that they talk, in the way that they approach their job, or the way that they interact with others, whether it's those who are perhaps on the same level as them, or perhaps with management? And his response disturbed me greatly. You know what he said? I can tell no difference in the Christians than I can the non-Christians. That's a problem. And I appreciate how candid he was with me in that response. But it made my heart hurt a little, especially thinking about the call for Christians. We can think about it in what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, that Christians are to be salt and light. Or what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that Christians are to be ambassadors, taking the good news to a world that desperately needs the saving grace that comes from God through Jesus. Or in Philippians, where it says that Christians are the citizens of heaven, citizens of a different kingdom, bringing again the good news of the King Jesus. Or what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and also in chapter 6, that Christians are sacred temples, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Or 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Peter there writes, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." So Christians, as we've just seen, are referred to as salt and light, ambassadors, citizens of heaven, sacred temples, foreigners, and exiles. These are all identity markers for the followers of Jesus. It says something about who we are and about the way that we live our lives. It also implies, and this is what's important for this series that will be going on for the next few weeks, that as followers of Jesus, we will be different than the world. As a matter of fact, we will be weird. That's the basis of this sermon series, that as Christians, we are different. We're exiles. We're foreigners, strangers. We, in fact, are weird. We're holy, set apart people. And so we think about some of the teachings of Jesus. These are what we might consider weird teachings. Think of these ones just from the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Jesus says that Christians, followers of Jesus, are to love their enemies and pray for them. That is not normal. Or that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery. We think about our world. That's not normal in the worldly standards. Look at whoever you want to look at. Think about them however you want to think about them. Or do not judge, or you too will be judged. Or do not worry about your life. Seek first the kingdom. Pursue the way and the will of God. All of these teachings of Jesus are not normal. They call us to live differently. They call us to, in fact, be weird. I want to make a few observations about this idea of being weird, about being different. Again, this is sort of setting the stage for the next few sermons that we'll have in the month of January. The first is this. The standard by which we live is not the world. It's not our coworkers. It's not our neighbors. The standard that which we live by is the Word of God and Jesus Christ. If our standard is something other than Jesus or the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, if our standard is something different, it's easy to fall into the chameleon trap, where we simply begin to just blend in with the wider world. Or what can happen is we have this slow fade that takes place. It may not happen overnight, but over time, we just begin to adopt the way, the style, the approach to life of the world, those who do not fear God. And so the standard, we just want to make it clear to state it right off the bat, the standard is the Word of God, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, and the Word that is the Bible. This is the standard by which we live. The second thing is this idea of being weird, being different. This is a partnership between God and us. God is transforming us into the people that He desires us to be. And in this partnership, as He is molding us into the kind of people that He desires us to be, we walk in faith. And as we do walk in faith, His transformative work will continue to take place in our lives. So, who's responsible for transformation? Who's responsible for making us weird? God? Yes. Us? Yes. The third thing is this. It's never too late to start living differently. Now, I don't know all the stories that are represented by the people in this room at this time. I'd imagine, though, that there are scars, bruises, aches, pains, guilt, envy, bitterness, anger, out and out pain that right now in this room folks are feeling or possess. When you get this many people together, that's just how things work out. But by the grace and mercy of our God, it's never too late to start living the kind of life that He desires us to live. Never too late. That is grace. That is mercy. They say that God is a God of second chances. That is true, but He's also the God of third chances and fourth chances, fifth chances. Think of the prodigal son parable. God the Father waiting for us to return. So that is good news for us. And then fourth, you look at the title of this series, Keep the Church Weird. Well, this isn't about being weird just to be weird. Be different just to be different. This is to be weird with a mission. The idea of being an ambassador or an exile or a stranger or a citizen of heaven is about being carriers of the good news to a world that needs to see the way of God, the love of God demonstrated. It's about carrying the good news to the world. And so being different is about not just saying, I'm going to be set apart for my own purposes, or really, it's just because I don't like people. That's not going to work here. Or I just want to turn people off so they won't talk to me anymore. No, that's not what this is about. This is about showing that there is a different way of living. There is good news for folks who desperately need the good news. And so now let's go over to Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. This morning we're going to talk about being weird when it comes to finances, when it comes to money. So Jesus says in Matthew 6, starting at verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." I'm going to stop here for a moment. So we treasure a lot of things, right? Clothes, cars, houses, back then, cows. Maybe you still do. Fine stones, jewelry, all kinds of things. A few years back, my dad found his baseball card collection from when he was a kid. So together we were able to go through that collection. It was as if we were opening up a treasure chest. I mean, think Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Roberto Clemente. I mean, we were just having a blast looking at all of these baseball cards. And we also had this thing, it's called a Beckett catalog. Next to it, it tells you the value of the cards. Now, this has been back a while. We were looking at that and looking like, what is that worth? We just kept checking it, you know. And it was like a treasure chest looking through all of that. But we need to see what Jesus says about these treasures on earth. They can vanish in no time. They are not secure. Even a Willie Mays baseball card. The Lions were playing the other day, losing, and they showed a picture of their old stadium that they played in. It's called the Pontiac Silverdome. It's still standing. The ceiling has completely fallen in. So you have this place where a professional sports team has played. They built a new stadium. The other one is just standing, completely dilapidated, done, over. And I was like, that right there is a picture of what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 6:19. At one time stood as this great beacon of entertainment and sports, and now just rat-infested structure sitting out in the middle of nowhere. So Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, and be destroyed or can vanish. And he says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And so we ask the question based on what Jesus says here in verse 20, how do you store up treasure in heaven? What does it look like to live out this teaching of Jesus? I think to store up treasures in heaven is to live according to the will of God, to strive to be like Jesus, to live by the word of God. And this treasure, it's eternal and secure. No vermin are getting to it, or moths, or thieves. It's secure forever. And that's what Jesus says, for where your treasure is, what you hold tightly to, there your heart will be also. And then he says this, verses 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. You might be asking, okay, what does the eye have to do with what Jesus just said about your treasure? I'll mention that in a second. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And so this is about thinking about the context here, this is about having eyes that are set on the proper treasure. So, how are your eyes? How are your eyes? Is it time to go back to the doctor? Some of us perhaps need to see the eye doctor, no matter the copay. Do you see opportunities to be generous, to give, to bless, to share? Or are your eyes more fixed on how to make a buck, how to grow the 401k, how to get the bigger house or the faster car? Healthy eyes see opportunities to be generous to others, to make a difference for others, not for the sake of me or for you, but for the sake of the mission of God. I think of the folks working down in the food pantry every Wednesday evening. People with healthy eyes, seeing the opportunities to bless others for the sake of the Lord. And then Jesus says this. And this is one of those passages that'll just stop you in your tracks. If it doesn't stop you in your tracks, you need to look at your heart. No one can serve two masters, Jesus says. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Some translations there for money say mammon. It's just an Aramaic term for money and possessions. There is no God named mammon. Or is there? Our God is a jealous God. We know this from the prophets. We also know this from Jesus. He wants all of us. He wants our hearts. He wants our minds. He wants our souls. He wants our strength. He wants our resources. He wants us all. And it's because of that, or born out of that, that the either or of this passage is so incredibly challenging. You either serve the one or the other. This is where we want the both and. But it's not. It's an either or. And especially in a society like ours, where we're consumed with more. We might even say that there's a God in our society that's named more. And that's why this passage stops us in our tracks. We don't like to think of money as a master or a god. But if we're not diligent, if we're not remaining true to the faith of Jesus Christ, then that's exactly what can happen. And so in our world, normal is do whatever it takes to acquire more treasure. Even if you have to go into debt, no big deal. Work until you can't spend time with your family. The more overtime, the better. Even if the kids are saying, Mom, Dad, I want more time with you. Don't give unless it perhaps serves our own purposes. Build bigger barns. Get more name brands. A bigger 401k. Live a life of service to money. That's normal. But weird says serve God only. It's all about God. He is our master. His way is the marching order for my life. And so the treasure is giving, sharing, and blessing. A few years back, I had the opportunity to go to Haiti. And that trip in itself was an incredible blessing because it opened my eyes to just how many resources I actually had. And it's sad that it took a trip like that to do it, but that's how God was working in my life. But there was a young man there. I would guess he was about 20 years old. Just a year or two before we were there, he had started raising goats. And the last day of our trip down there in outside of Port-au-Prince, Haiti, we had a great meal. And what we had, and I would say great, and then I'm going to say what we ate. It was goat is what we ate. It was actually rather delicious. The preacher at the local congregation down there took a few of us to the side and said, want you to know that the goat that you all are eating tonight, that we are serving, is this young man's best goat. And out of his love for you all, he wants to serve this to you. Now, part of me was thinking in that moment, he shouldn't be doing that. This could help him. It's just like his job, it's his livelihood is in these animals. But I just got to be clear about this. In his act of service, there was no doubt about it who his master was and what he truly treasured. He was living for God. He was giving out of his poverty. And so I'll ask you this question. It's a question I've been asking myself as I have been pondering and thinking about preparing for this message. Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Is it a treasure that vermin, moth, could destroy, or that thieves could take? And then a question that is similar to it is, who is your master? Who is it that you are serving? And I'd offer you a challenge for this week. Give. Give relentlessly. Give out of a heart that recognizes all that we have received from God. I'd like to say a prayer at this time. And if you're comfortable with this, I'd like for you to put your hands in your laps and just have them opened up. If you're comfortable with that, let's pray. Father, we recognize that all we have comes from you. You are our creator. You are the one that gives us life. Any resources that we have, the stuff that we have, the money that we have, the material things that we have, it all comes from you. And so, Father, as we bow before you with our hands open, we recognize that all we have, all that has been placed in our hands, has been placed there by you. And Father, our prayer is that it's with open hands that we can approach others, that we can be channels of blessing to those that are in need. Help us, Father, to give generously. And help us, Father, to follow in the example of Jesus, who gave his life for us sinners, giving us a hope of salvation. And Father, use us to be a blessing to others so that they can come, so that others can come to know you, to love you, and serve you. We come before you open-handed, ready for you to work in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the challenge is, give. Give to the church. Give to those in need. Give to your spouse. Give to your family. Just give. As you do, I promise you, God is going to be working. He's a creator. As we used to sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. It's going to be okay. Just give. And as we think about doing that, I encourage you to be weird. Because I don't know if you've been able to tell, normal isn't all it's cracked up to be. If there's anybody here today that desires the prayers of the church family, we're here to pray with you or for you. We are a group of people that strive to bear one another's burdens. Here in a moment, Ray is going to lead us in a closing song or an invitation song. If you have any needs, you can come forward. Let us know what's on your heart. and we'll pray with you. There will also be some shepherds that will be in the back of the auditorium. If you'd like, you can go share with them, and they'd be glad to pray with you. Today, you're ready to give your life over to Jesus. We would absolutely love, we'd be elated to witness you and make that faithful decision today. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and worship our Creator.